This is the Indie Game Radio Show, and with me today is Joe Lieberman. So, why don't you introduce yourself?
Okay, I'm Joe Lieberman. How you doing?
Cool. And what kind of games do you make?
I don't make games, I market them.
Oh, awesome. Well, that's a surprise.
It's a slightly different kind of direction to go, and it's much more profitable than making games.
Well, that's great to hear, for all those people who are sick and tired of cloning stuff. Okay, so what inspired you to get into indie game marketing?
Well, it all began back in a game called Cosmic Rift by Sony Online Entertainment. I was sitting around playing the game, and I had created a squad, and one of my people in the squad turned out to be the guy who is now the director of Sony Online Entertainment.
Oh, awesome.
He and I talked a lot once he introduced himself as who he really was about the game industry, and he convinced me to go away from the programming side because, in general, the programming side and the art side, they're sort of harder to get into, and the business side really needed good people. So he convinced me in college to get into marketing for specific to video games,
Oh,
and
okay.
I launched the marketing company in my junior year of college, and
Okay.
it has grown rapidly and out of control ever since.
Awesome. So before that, you were actually thinking of getting into games or into programming games, or were you still going to
Yeah.
do something business oriented?
No, I was totally gung-ho. I was a computer software engineer. Although I quickly learned I couldn't do Calculus 2, but I
Okay.
figured, that was a minor problem.
Yeah. Okay. And so now you got into game marketing. Now the game marketing, if you're talking to a Sony person, they probably saw it from the perspective of AAA titles and stuff. So how did you get the inkling to go into like the smaller niche market?
Well, to start out, I figured I was going to need some experience either way because after doing some research, you learn that you need 3 years of experience to get a job in the industry.
Okay.
So, in order to get that experience, I worked with an independent developer, Dragon Claw Studio,
Oh,
and I
cool.
did it for free. And I learned very quickly from doing that there were a lot of independent developers who really needed some help. And I saw the opportunity that I could make up in volume what I was not going to get in profit per customer.
Okay. And what services then do you offer on your website? By the way, what is your website's address?
VGSmart.com. Video
Okay.
game marketing? Smart. All right, that's my catchphrase. That's
Cool.
all I've got. The primary service most people have me do is just release a press release for them, which is certainly a very important step to announcing your game, not only announcing that it's being created, but announcing that it's finished and that major updates are available for it. We are the low-cost leader and very efficient in that we only do games. So the list is very targeted. It contains about 900 PC Windows editors, about 60 Mac editors, and
Oh, okay.
various other categories.
Okay. Now it's interesting that you said that you should, or you inferred that you should send out a press release even before the game has been released.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So even like when you've just started to decide to make the game.
Yeah, when you reach a stage in which you have something to show, you always need to be able to show something.
Okay.
Because if you're like, we've got this game and it's going to be great, nobody will believe you and nobody will care. But if you've got a website that's showing off some interesting aspects of it, you might get some certainly some good leads from it and certainly some interest in it later. For when you send out the release press release, people go, oh, I remember I saw that game back then.
Okay. And so are you in constant contact then with all of these other editors or these new, like
Oh
these
yeah, oh
okay.
yeah.
And I guess like how do you establish a relationship with them? Is it because that's something that other people have suggested, for indie game developers, and I don't know if from your perspective if it's even wise for indie game developers to do that or to just still go through a marketing person.
Well, it all boils down to what is the best way to use your time. Is the best way to use your time making a game or marketing your game? And how much
Okay.
is it going to cost to hire someone else? The reality is, the best way to establish relationships with these people is to simply pick up the phone or pick up the email button and give them a call and start talking to them. They're just normal people.
Oh, really?
And
Okay.
they are very supportive of the indie movement in general. They really do like it.
Okay.
They want to know about your products, but if you never take the initiative to get in touch with them, they'll never know. But at the same time, if you are using, let's say 100 hours in a given month on just collecting contacts when I already have the contacts in place, then in general, you just wasted 100 hours when you could have me do it for a dirt cheap price.
Yeah, it's true.
So it's a toss-up.
Okay. Well, walk me through a marketing strategy for an indie game developer that goes through you. So let's just say that they've completed their game. They didn't know that they should have, sent out a press release when they had initially something to show. So they finally completed it, and they want to use your service. So what would
Okay.
you?
Well, the first thing is you need an interesting product. If you don't have an interesting product, you're already in trouble. And by interesting product, I'm talking about a game that is going to interest the mass media. So if you have a casual game, a very casual game that is somewhat not unique, you're
Okay.
not really looking at the same marketing strategy I'm about to describe.
Okay.
But if you have a game that is very different or very hardcore, for instance, the one I was just doing work on before we began our interview here was Avion, which is an RPG by Amaranth Games. I was
Okay.
just preparing a report for them on the reviews I've gotten them. It's an RPG. It's a very long game. It's 40 to 60 hours. So it is a very major hardcore product, although it is actually a fairly casual RPG.
Okay.
The plan I would lay out for that would be, first of all, you need a press release to announce the product. With that, you'll get some interest in getting reviews and interviews and so on and so forth. The next thing to do is seek out the places that are most likely to want to do a review. That would be RPG sites in this case. For a sports game, it would be sports sites. Whatever it is that genre related, hopefully.
Okay.
From that point, then you begin talking to as many mass media markets as possible. This is the IGNs and GameSpys, or smaller Warcry, or even smaller GamerGod. It doesn't really matter as long as you're getting coverage, really. In my opinion, if the site gets 100 people, a month, then it doesn't really cost you anything to send them a copy of your game and get a review
Yeah.
on there.
Okay.
So basically, sending it out to as many places as you can get interest.
Okay.
From there, the next step is to follow up with the places that do reviews. Not only to make sure they do the freaking review, because editors sometimes forget, or the file gets lost, or the reviewer vanishes. I mean, I've had all sorts of stories.
Yeah.
I've had reviewers actually die,
Oh, really? Well.
and which is very depressing.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you're like, well,
Hopefully it
can
wasn't
you
while
guys?
playing the game. I don't know.
Well, I don't know, but. I mean, it's very depressing in that, you're like, you gotta go to the editor now and be like, so can someone else do the review? But you gotta follow up. That's the story.
Okay. And I mean, it doesn't seem like it's contrived when you're actually calling them afterwards and saying, "Well, did you well, how did the review go?" or something like that. I mean,
No,
that's expected.
that's expected, absolutely.
Okay,
You
cool.
shouldn't call them every day, but every 2 to 3 weeks, maybe every month if you don't have the time.
Yeah.
That's fine. That's what they expect to see. Especially, if many sites simply forget to email developers when the review's been posted. So a lot of times the review will be done and you won't even know it.
Oh, okay.
It's a little easier when you're an indie and you can see the traffic change in your site, but otherwise, you should certainly follow up. But the next part of following up is once the review is done, if it is a good review, follow up more. Coverage from that site. Hey, you guys gave me an 8 out of 10. Would you like to do an interview?
Oh,
Would
okay.
you like to do a preview of our next product? You got to keep the ball rolling. You can't just let it sit down and, lie dead because editors change jobs more often than I change pants.
All right,
So
wow.
by the
Okay.
time your game is next done, you might not even be able to talk to the same people. So you got to stay on top of things before you get forgotten.
Okay. So some people say that, why even bother with marketing if you have a truly unique or great product, word of mouth is going to work best. So if you look at some of the more famous sites, not game sites, but just famous sites on the internet, they've really done very little marketing and it's mostly word of mouth. I mean, specifically Google, MySpace, or maybe even Zuma. I don't know. But do you have any thoughts on that? I mean, is it just better to engineer something that's truly unique and novel, or to actually go through the marketing?
Oh, I certainly believe in the marketing aspect, not just because it's the way I make my living, but the sites that achieve a viral capacity, which is a word of mouth ratio of 1.0 or higher, meaning for every person who sees it, they tell one other person. The number of sites that do that and the number of games that do that are ridiculously low. It is below 1%, way below 1%. You know, and people like to reference those as really unique, great products. But developers have to come to the conclusion that no matter how good you may think you are, the odds of you producing that product are pretty slim. And a lot of the products you'll quote as being great viral products, you don't have any idea how much marketing work went into that product,
Yeah, it's true.
both in the design phase and throughout the life of the product. You know, Google has marketing people. Don't think that they don't. They have a lot of people figuring out ways that they can leverage the fact that they look like they do very little marketing. That's why you see so many articles about them on CNN and other places.
Okay. Now you were mentioning about designing marketing, well, inferring designing marketing into the product. I mean, do you do services like that where you actually get contacted by game companies and they're like, look, we're designing a product and how can we make it so it will have that viral factor or some kind of marketing effect in the product itself?
You know, I've never actually. Well, I have worked with a few products in the development stages, and I have made suggestions. I've not really made a business out of being a consultant. But, you know, it certainly can be done by me or by someone who's experienced. For the most part, though, asking your peers in the independent world is a pretty good way to get some really good feedback on that.
Now, I'm not sure exactly what clients you work with, but have you ever had any clients talk about branding their games? So, you know, a lot of indie developers, they'll release a game. First of all, they definitely didn't do everything that you described. Companies coming to you and saying, well, look, we want to brand our company in this perspective or that perspective or in this market. And how can you help us do that?
Yeah, I do have clients do that, but none of them are independents.
Oh, really?
You know, the companies that are talking about branding are usually larger companies because the thing to know about branding is that it comes after selling your product. You should not focus on branding yourself prior to making money. And branding in general is the idea that you can set your company apart by putting value on the brand's name itself or on the direction the company's going. For an independent developer, in order to do that, you really have to be financially solvent first, which means you should be focusing on actions that are going to result in a direct return on investment. So, rather than a very long-term objective. That doesn't mean you can't do it. It just means that it should be a secondary objective. Some games that have attempted branding or done branding that I've worked with, the Outpost Coloki series. A lot of people ask, why do you choose the horrible name Coloki? Why didn't you name it, you know, Space Station Tycoon or something along those lines? And the reason is, their long-term goal is to brand the Coloki name into all their products in the future, so that every product, you know, that comes out from them is going to have the word Coloki in it, and hopefully over time, that will begin to mean something to people. People will recognize it. People will be searching for it on search engines and come across multiple products that they didn't know about. You know, and that's just one example of many.
Okay, cool. Now, in terms of names, you know, you mentioned Coloki. How important is a name then for marketing?
Well, I would say it is fairly important. Names that are shorter are better. Names that are memorable and easy to spell are better. You know, but at the same time, names that are too broad might not really be that good. You know, if the name of your game is like The Game, for instance, the most broad you could possibly get, it might just confuse people about on what it's about.
And what suggestions do you have on increasing and improving exposure for a game? Aside from the press releases and stuff like that, I mean, is there anything else that someone who's already or some indie who's already released a game can do to actually improve and increase their sales and exposure?
Yeah, a lot of that has to do with web-related content, link exchanges, talking about your game on forums, asking your fans to talk about the game on other forums, not asking them to spam other forums, just, you know, asking them, hey, guys, you know, we'd love it if you could put a link to our site and your signature on other people's forums that you post in.
Oh, okay.
You know, stuff like that. Anything you can do to generate interest, web traffic, you know, anything at all.
Okay. Well, that's interesting that you mentioned just having your fans and your customers, you know, promote the game for you. Have you done that? I mean, have you encouraged that in any kind of manner with any of your clients? Have you seen any success with that? Are there any specific things that should be done to actually facilitate that?
Well, for the most part, none of the clients I work with on the independent side have me in such a capacity that I'm communicating directly with their customers.
Okay.
So the answer to that is I've suggested it to many people, and I have no idea how many people have followed my advice.
Okay.
But at the same time, I would say that the best thing you can do to encourage that is to give your users ammunition. It's all about the bullets. For instance, people often ask me, well, what if I run a contest, you know, to get people to refer their friends? Or what if I give discounts for people who refer their friends? My comment to that is, you don't need to. They don't want it. They, you know, they'll take it, but they don't need that to promote your product. All they need to do is really like your product, and they'll do the rest. All you have to do is give them the ammunition, the information they need to tell their friends about it.
Okay. Well, could you give me an example then? I mean, what would be – could you point out an indie game where – what would the ammunition be for, say, a typical indie game? Would it just be the actual gameplay? Would it be
– No, I think it would be like, for instance, IM icons.
Okay.
Creating an IM icon. You know, something to get people's curiosity going. Asking them to put a link in the signature. They won't do it by themselves. But if you ask, they'll go, oh, sure, no problem. You know, but you got to be the one to instigate these things.
Well, when would you ask? Would you ask right when they purchase the thing? Or, I mean, like...
No, I would say, you know, get... Assuming you have an active community forum, you know, just making a sticky post and throwing it up there.
Okay.
They're very, very easy to do things, you know. You know, making wallpapers. Anything to make yourself more visible to passerbys, basically. Let's say the guy's got a friend over, and he looks at your wallpaper. Hey, that's a pretty cool wallpaper. Where'd you get it?
Okay.
Simple. I mean, you know, these things generate word of mouth. They really do work. It's just a matter of implementing all of them.
Yeah, exactly.
And then, you know, it's not just, oh, I make a wallpaper and I put it on my site. You got to make the wallpaper and then promote it to your people. You know, and it's got to be worthwhile. It can't just be a crappy wallpaper, for instance. I mean, you know, otherwise it's just not going to work.
Okay. Yeah, have you suggested any... Well, are there any other things you've suggested also to give users ammunition?
For the most part, you know, information about your product also helps.
Okay.
Letting them know what the latest reviews are of it, especially good reviews, obviously. So they can go, hey, man, you know, and their friends will be like, you know, oh, I don't know about that game. It's a 2D game, and I don't like 2D games anymore because I'm a new age kind of person. And they go, well, you know, it got an 85% on GameSpy.
Okay.
Simple as that.
And this stuff then would go on your website or whatever, so...
Yeah, I mean that's... Okay. Or your website, your newsletter, anywhere that you are communicating directly with your customers.
Okay. Speaking of newsletters, how do you suggest indies handle that? I know it's kind of like a hit or miss with most indies. I mean, the bigger indies, you will see them having a concerted attempt with newsletters. The smaller indies, definitely not.
Yeah, well, that is the biggest mistake of the smaller indies. You got to start somewhere.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't care if your newsletter has 100 users, 10 users, or 10,000 users. You need to send out that newsletter, and you need to do it at least every other week, in my opinion.
Really? Every other week? Wow. Do you
yeah,
handle...
And every other week, you need to have content for it.
Yeah, well, see, that's another question, because a lot of the things you suggest are great, and I guess some of the concerns are, like, you know, the etiquette for the things, you know, is it going to be viewed as spam? Is it going to be viewed as something useful? So when you say content, when it comes to games, what do you mean by content? Just stuff about the games? Should it be about other indie games? I mean, what do you suggest?
It can really be about anything.
Okay.
Content is sort of subjective. I mean, it's really... an article about another game or about the game industry in general and send it out as content. You don't need to have it about your game or your products. It can be
Oh,
about the
right.
industry. I mean, you can send out you can send out, a post that's basically a blog entry about, how you spent your weekend and how it's put you behind on your new project. I mean, it can, you should really tie it into your philosophy somehow, but, it doesn't have to be, oh, we have released X game and, now we have a sale on Y game and so on and so forth. I mean, it doesn't have to be like that. It can be interesting. It can be content that is beyond just, here's an ad for my product and my company.
Okay. Now, have you been able to actually organize newsletters for other? Do you handle that as a service, organizing
The
newsletters for
only
other people?
I do in fact
Oh,
I
wow.
actually but the only one I do it for is Matrix Games, who's a major client of ours.
Okay.
Their newsletters that they have me write are, if I recall correctly, around 20 pages each.
Wow.
And it is a monthly newsletter. It does violate my philosophy of a biweekly newsletter, but they're a little bit
Yeah.
bigger. And that newsletter is written in actual news form. It's not, oh, here's a news clipping. It is editorial articles that I'm writing. It is creative writing. It's interviews. It's
Oh,
actually
really?
stuff
Okay.
people are going to care about. It's almost like having your own editorial website.
Okay.
And,
And
Matrix's list is tens of thousands of customers long, so, it somewhat pays to put that much time and effort into it.
yeah. Well, and most of the well are most of the articles then not necessarily related to the games directly then?
They are. I try to tie them in some fashion, somehow. For instance, during Valentine's Day, I wrote an article on wargaming and Valentine's and how they don't mix together very well. Very funny article.
Oh, okay.
About, the best places a wargamer should take his girlfriend, like the
okay.
Bastille and places like that.
Okay.
Obviously jokes. But my favorite being the retelling of the Valentine's Day Massacre.
Okay. That's interesting. Now, when you mention like timeliness of articles, do you also promote or encourage indies to submit press releases if their game is related to some timely event, like Valentine's Day or
Oh,
Fourth
heck
of
yeah.
July or whatever?
Oh, heck yeah. Everybody's looking for a special bit of content around the holidays. If you had a
Okay.
4th of July game, and I don't know how you'd pull that off, but if you had one, and you wanted to release it, I would definitely say that is a press release that should go out on July 2nd and be posted July 3rd
Oh, really?
before
Okay.
everybody goes
Oh,
on
well,
holiday.
actually, that's a good point. I mean, if you were going to try to promote something during some other timely event, right? Like, for example, with kids' games, maybe Career Day,
Okay.
the games. But, I mean, how long before it happens should you actually send out the press release? 2 weeks before, 2 days before,
The
2 months
press release
before?
should be sent out a minimum of a day before, 2 days before the event. So it's posted a day before the event. You don't want to post it
Okay.
on the day of the event because nobody's going to be reading. They're going to be doing whatever it is they're doing.
Yeah,
So
exactly.
that's a minimum. At most, I would say a week away, and that's probably too far because by the time the event arrives. Heck, I can't remember what I did last week.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I was just wondering if there's going to be something where there might be like a whole write-up just because that's like a special event, and they're like, okay, well, if you send it 2 months beforehand, they might do an interview with you or something else. But.
That's a separate issue. That would be a press release of sorts internal to editors, not for public posting.
Oh, okay.
You can
Okay.
do that. You can send out editorial releases that say basically, to the editors, hey, we have an upcoming July 4th game, and we'd like to see if you're interested in doing some creative articles on the 4th of July and how it relates to gaming.
Okay.
Like I said, I have no idea how you'd achieve this, but in theory, that's something you can do. There's no
Okay.
rule
Well,
against it.
can you distinguish for the audience the difference between then an editorial release and then a general public press release and when you'd want to do either one?
An editorial release, specific to editors, it's very informal. It doesn't. I mean, it can really be like, "Hey guys, I have this great idea." It doesn't have to be. VG Smart is very proud to release the following information. So it can be very informal. It can be very, you can use exclamation points and other ideas, and in general, it just has to get the editor's attention.
Okay, cool.
A formal release has to follow certain formats, almost like an MLA handbook style. You're not supposed to use the word you.
Okay.
You're not supposed to use exclamation points. You try to keep it looking like a piece of news.
Okay, cool. Now, in terms of advertising in indie games, I don't know if that's another service you offer, but some indies have talked about advertising and where they should advertise. Do you have any suggestions or comments on that?
Yeah, absolutely. It is a service that I pretty much no longer offer on the grounds I simply don't have time to do it.
Okay.
However, I have offered it in the past, and I still do work with the advertising of some of the larger clients I work with. The key to it is all in targeting. If you don't know your target audience and you don't know who's most likely to purchase, you can't advertise. Not
Okay.
without a lot of risk and without a lot of questions. So the first thing is you gotta know who's gonna buy your game.
Okay.
For instance, I can say that, well, actually, I probably shouldn't say that. So
No problem.
we'll avoid talking about any specific products in this
Okay.
case. But a game basically that has a very easy to target audience, like a sports game.
Okay.
If it's a baseball game, there's a lot of places you can advertise very much related to baseball and specific somewhat to baseball video games.
Okay. So this is above and beyond AdWords. This would be actually going to sites
Right. Well,
specifically targeted towards.
AdWords is the easiest way to target because
Okay.
you can target similar products. I mean, basically, if you create a word game that is very similar to bookworm, for instance, you can
Yeah.
advertise on the word bookworm. That's like almost like advertising on PopCap's website, and
Yeah,
if you pay
exactly.
enough, you can get on the top spot and get make your game appear more relevant than bookworm itself. So
Okay.
AdWords certainly is the first place to start, especially if you're not sure of targeting on your game.
Okay, cool. Now, in terms of so most indie developers, they go with the pay for play model in terms of a business model. Now, from your point of view, do you see any shift in terms of what's going to happen in the future? I mean, are most games going to be kind of like a service model where it's like advertising, where you see ads from playing while you're playing the games and stuff like that, or do you still see this pay for play model as something as being effective?
I don't see the advert gaming model taking over in any way, shape, or form, actually. The only way I see that working is we may encounter some companies that offer you an incentive to put ads in your game. So you will
Okay.
combine the two, most likely, in that case. So you'll see games where it's $20 to buy, and the demo contains ads for other products.
Oh, okay.
And so you make, whatever, 5 cents per download or something like that.
Okay. Have you actually handled any situation where people want to put, say, an advertisement for their product within a demo of another game?
Nope, that's never come across my desk at this point.
Okay, cool. Now, you recently wrote an article for the Association for Shareware Professionals with the top 5 questions you ask. So I'm going to run through them, and you can give me the standard response.
Okay.
Question number one is, what is an evaluation copy?
This is my favorite question that people ask me because it's not actually the most frequent question by any means, but it is the most disheartening to me.
Okay.
Sometimes in the marketing world, you take for granted what seems very obvious. And I have had a client of mine email me and say, "This editor asked for an evaluation copy, and I didn't know what he meant, so I told him we didn't have one." And an evaluation copy is nothing more than a review copy of your game. It's just a full copy. Just send it to them.
Okay.
Sometimes you can include other things like tips or a walkthrough or something like that, but it doesn't necessarily have to have any. It can just be the full copy of your game. Basically, this guy turned down a review for his product because he didn't realize that evaluation copy is the same thing as a review copy.
Okay.
So, very
And that's
important.
something you should probably mention in your press release anyways, is that you do have a
Right.
an evaluation copy free for review or
Right,
something.
and that is mentioned in every press release that I send out. It's right at the bottom.
Okay, cool. Now, what's a media kit?
A media kit is something that some of the more professional companies will expect to see. Basically, the bare minimum is a copy of your game a set of high-resolution screenshots, a fact sheet about that tells you the features and the benefits of the product, and that is basically put into a folder with a CD and mailed to someone who wants to take a look at it. This way they have all the information available right in front of them for whatever it is they're about to do with your product, whether it's a evaluation for retail or if it's, you know, just a big review on a big website. Some people really like those, that sort of extra step you take.
Okay. So it does have to be a tangible or physical media.
No, it doesn't have to be, actually.
Okay.
The other side of things is an online media kit. It contains most of those things in digital form, just a zip file with a fact sheet written in PDF or Word document. You know, the copy of the game in digital form. In general, the fact sheet is going to be the hard part of your media kit. It's people ask me a lot of times what a fact sheet is also, and that
I was about to ask that.
That's basically a fact sheet is what you see in the back of a game box in a retail store. It's a bunch of screenshots, a sales pitch or a story of the product, the system requirements, and you know, basically that's all you ever see in the back of a box, right?
Yeah.
You add your contact information to the bottom, and that's all that you have for a fact sheet. That's pretty much it. So it's not complicated. It's just you basically have to make the back of a box.
Okay, cool. Now, how do I get reviews for my stuff? I know we talked about this a little earlier, but maybe you have something else to add to it.
Well, I broke it down into six steps for the article. Step one was to make an interesting product. If you don't have that, you're not going to get any reviews. The second step is to find people who write about games. Either do that through a marketing company or through your own set of contacts. This third step is to get them interested. Knowing who they are doesn't help you if you haven't given them a call and told them about the product.
Okay.
Then you send them a copy of the product, and you call a checkup every 2 to 3 weeks, like we said, if possible. And then you thank them at the end. It's very important. Lots of people... The PR industry is very frustrating to editors because the PR people in the big companies treat editors like crap. And but at the same time, the editors are forced to review all these big products. But they're not forced to review independent products.
Okay.
So when they do, it's very important, in my opinion, that you go back and you thank them for taking the time, regardless of how the review turns out. I don't care if they give you a 20%. You should call them up and say, thanks for taking the time. Sorry, we obviously don't see eye to eye on our product, but you know what? Next time we'll make another product, and hopefully you guys will like it a little better.
Okay, cool. So how do I get traffic?
Getting traffic is the funny part, because it's a lot of work, and it almost seems like every step you take and everything you do results in absolutely nothing. Just things like link exchanges and search engine optimization, posting on forums, getting people to write and talk about your product. They all result in more traffic, but there's no instant gratification for it. There's no instant miracle. You know, you might get lucky, and Penny Arcade, for instance, will talk about your product.
Okay.
You know, and then suddenly you get 20,000 hits in a day or something like that.
Yeah.
Probably more, actually, from them. But in reality, you know, for the most part, most of what you do is very small, and it's going to result in, you know, tens and 50s and hopefully hundreds at a time, but nothing more than that. And you got to be persistent, though. You got to be persistent, aim for those, you know, really big guys every so often, like Penny Arcade, and just grow steadily. You know, if you can grow your site at 10% a month, which is not unreasonable, you know, within 3 years, you'll actually have a very large site on your hands.
Okay, cool. Now, should I sell through a portal?
And that is a question that depends entirely on your game. The fact of the matter is, the more casual your game is, the more or less likely it is to be mass market recognized, the more likely you should sell through a portal, simply because it's very difficult to reach the casual audience without the backing of a portal. Because casual gamers don't identify themselves as gamers. They don't read review sites. They don't go looking for products.
Yeah.
So how do you reach them? The only way to reach them, for the most part, is through a portal, which, you know, somewhere they already know about.
Okay. Cool. Now, I've heard some other people talk about actually creating other sites where they write their own content and either promote their game on that site, or they'll just have something relevant to their game on that site and just say sponsored by their game or something. Is that something that you advocate? Is it something you've seen?
Yeah,
Much of.
I definitely would advocate that. Anything you
Okay.
can do to market yourself, differentiate yourself, draw traffic to yourself. I
Okay.
don't know whether or not it's going to be worth your time. That's a question that you'd have to
Yeah.
answer based on how much you value each hour of your day.
Okay.
But if you had unlimited, in my perfect world where you have unlimited quantities of time, yeah, that is totally something that you should be focusing on.
Okay. Now, so I just recently asked, should I sell through a portal? But what about games that are really not targeted at the casual gamer audience? So they've got a new niche that isn't necessarily something that's picked up by the mainstream, but it's definitely not picked up by the casual game portals either. And this would include games like Democracy or even kids games. So what would you suggest for them?
This is where a lot of convincing has to be done. This is
Okay.
where salesmanship overrides marketing. This
Okay.
is basically you got to go to these mainstream places and convince them, whether you use a baseball bat or not is up to you, of reviewing your product. And also, the nice thing about a game like Democracy, for instance, is that it doesn't it self-identifies a niche. It's a political
Yeah.
game. So you can target political-based websites,
Okay.
political-based magazines even. Anything that is political-based might be interested in your product, and with good salesmanship, you can convince them to cover your product, and you can access a market that isn't even a gamer market. You don't, there's no rule that says you have to make a game and sell to gamers. You can make a
Yeah.
game about politics and sell to politicians, or at
Okay.
least, poli-sci majors, whatever it is
Okay.
they do.
Okay, cool. Now, what about guerrilla marketing, alternative marketing methods? Any thoughts, ideas, any experiments you've been trying?
My feeling on guerrilla marketing, well, there's a difference between guerrilla marketing and grassroots marketing. That's
Okay.
a distinction I make in my book, which we're going to talk about later.
Yeah,
But
definitely.
the distinction is when I was talking about getting evangelizing your product to your fans and getting them to talk about it. That's grassroots. That's building up from the inside. Guerrilla
Okay.
marketing is like guerrilla warfare. It's dangerous.
Yeah.
Guerrilla marketing, by definition, for the most part, everything that you do in guerrilla marketing is illegal, in fact. So,
That's
for
nice to
instance,
hear.
the most classic example of guerrilla marketing is flyering people's cars,
Yeah.
or writing on the sidewalk,
Yeah.
or graffitiing the side of an abandoned building. All that stuff, in many cities in America at least, that's illegal. You can be
Okay.
arrested for doing it, or at least fined pretty heavily.
Okay.
So, the important thing to know, and it doesn't change in the web either. Guerrilla marketing, for instance, is going to people's forums, disguising yourself as a user, and talking up your product.
Okay.
It's very hard to do in the online world beyond that because it's very hard to flyer someone's website. You could
Yeah,
hack it, but again, it's illegal. So I don't evangelize guerrilla marketing. I do evangelize grassroots marketing, getting your constituents to do the work for you.
okay. Cool. Let's see. So, in terms of marketing strategies for games, what are the best marketing strategies you've seen? I mean, is there anyone that really particularly stands out and says and makes you think, wow, that's a damn good marketing strategy or technique or
Well, are we talking about
implementation?
independent games there, or are we talking about mainstream products?
Let's go with independent games.
Oh, man. An independent game that has been well marketed, like to the extent where I would say it flat out impressed me.
Yeah.
I'm trying to come up with one.
Yeah, I hear you.
None of them jump to mind, that's for sure.
Okay.
So nothing
Well,
has jumped to my mind. Give me a, I'm gonna come back to that question.
sure. So and PopCap, PopCap's also included. I know they're a bit bigger, but at one time they were an indie.
Right. I still consider them an indie, really.
Oh, okay, cool. Okay. And you also briefly mentioned just a little bit earlier about your book. So, what is this book and what's it about? And I know you're really busy, so maybe this book could actually give indies insight into stuff that you don't have time to tell them anyways.
Yeah, well, that's sort of the idea behind it. As I become more busy, my time to help out people is becoming more scarce.
Okay.
So I wanted to create this book to sort of help people out. Not so much to make a profit, though I hope to make at least enough to recoup the time I spent making it.
Yeah.
The book is The Independent Developer's Guide to Selling Games. That's the working title and probably the final title.
Okay.
And it is all about what you need to do to sell products. from start to finish, from development all the way down to what happens after the game's been released. It contains five chapters of sort of a basic overview that some of the veteran independent developers won't find too useful, though I hope they'll be able to get some tidbits out of it. And a sixth chapter on advanced marketing techniques, lots of stuff, lots of theories, basically, that I've come up with on ways to improve sales.
Okay.
So
Cool.
hopefully, even that sixth chapter will make it all worthwhile, even for the veteran developers.
Okay, cool. And when is this going to come out?
Well, I was hoping to have it out this month, by the end of this month. That is not going to happen.
Okay.
Totally blew that deadline. Like, but I do say in my book that anybody doing something for the first time should take the amount of time they think and it's going to take and double it. So apparently, this applies to books as well as games.
Okay.
I'm hoping to have it out by summer, by the
Okay.
end of summer. Hopefully before that, June, July.
Okay, cool. Is there anything else you wanted to mention about the book? Any other,
Well, the resources section in the book is a list of important contacts for independent game developers. For instance, it has a resource section on artists, sound effect people, and musicians. And these are
Okay.
people every independent game developer is going to need at some point. And what happens when your artist leaves, your current artist leaves, says, I'm moving on to greener pastures.
Yeah.
What do? You can surf freelance forums, you can surf the indie gamer forums and try to find someone. What I've done is I've collected information from all these people and I've put it
Okay.
all in there. It's not that I advocate these people, it's not that I'm saying these people are the best. It's that I'm saying these people are available and you should get in touch with them. It's a concise list of people you can contact. Now, the key to that is I'm going to try to keep this thing updated. For anyone who purchases the book, it'll always have the newest version of it in it. For people who have purchased the book previously, they can purchase this add-on in a PDF form. I might update it every year or every 6 months, depending on how many copies I sell and how much time I have to take to do it.
Okay.
But basically, I'll keep it updated and put it at a really cheap price, $5 or $10 or something, so that if you want that list of information, you can get it.
Okay, cool.
And so I think it's a really important idea, in terms of keeping the signal to noise ratio low.
Okay, cool. And so what's the name of the book again?
The Indie Developer's Guide to Selling Games.
Okay. Cool. And so now here are the hard questions. You've said that the I do kids games, and you said that the kids game market is dead. So how would you, from a marketing point of view, actually survive in that industry? Or, I mean, what would you do?
Man, why would you ever make kids games? No, I think it's great that kids want to, that little kids play games and use them to learn, which
Yeah.
is primarily what they're used for.
Yeah.
The problem you get is, first of all, it is true that children are in fact the most influential person in the household when it comes to making purchases.
Okay.
That's a very important fact, and if you can figure out a way to leverage that, best of luck to you. But it is a proven fact that in a household that has an adult teen, a mother, a father, and a child, it is the child who influences almost all of the day-to-day purchases, almost
Okay.
all the non-durable purchases. The child has no influence at all on durable purchases directly. You don't buy a refrigerator because it has Mickey Mouse on it,
Yeah, exactly.
but you do buy the box of macaroni and cheese that has Mickey Mouse on it.
Okay.
And you would buy a game that has, something on it. But the problem is the children, specifically very young children, are very
Yeah.
susceptible to branding. This is
Yeah.
where branding comes in.
Okay.
The problem is an independent developer, you're competing with SpongeBob, you're
Yeah.
competing with Dora the Explorer, you're competing with all these people who have millions and millions of dollars invested in branding.
Okay.
And those are the only games that are making money in the child space right now. The Barbie game
Yeah.
is the most recent success. But very rarely, almost never, do you see a game that without a branded character in the child space that does very well.
Okay.
Uh,
Gotcha.
the the other the other side of the coin is children have a single outlet that you can use to make sales, but it's a very difficult sales channel, and that's education, schools.
Okay,
Public
yeah.
schools have very limited budgets, specifically limited budgets when it comes to games and educational software.
Okay.
If you can convince them through a partnership with Scholastic, for instance, who does offer games partnerships,
Oh, yeah.
or by doing it on your own, if you're an excellent salesman and have excellent contacts in the educational market, you can make a lot of headway that way. The other way, there is another way
Okay.
to further this market here, and that would be if you have and can develop the contacts for the decision makers in the educational space.
Okay.
This would be getting yourself in industry publications that are targeted towards teachers,
Okay.
other publications that are targeted towards children, for instance, children's magazines, those things that are targeted towards mothers of young children,
Okay.
or so on and so forth. Basically, making PR contacts in an industry that is not known for supporting game-based education.
Okay.
Because that's another hurdle, is that for the most part, a lot of the schools, they don't even want to believe that games can be used to educate children.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, I
So,
see. Okay,
tons
well,
of
so probably the
hurdles.
easiest thing to do is just develop your own IP.
Or license
Oh yeah,
some
license.
Nickelodeon
Okay, yeah,
if
good
you have a
point.
couple $1 million to spend.
Okay. yeah, so this kind of segues into the concept of what Dan McDonald usually advocates in his articles, which is pretty much, following what you want to do and going with what you want to do. Now, you've got a different perspective. You've got the marketing perspective. What do you suggest, and what would you recommend for someone who wants to go off the beaten path?
Dan is right about many things. I do believe that. He's right that if you attempt to create what your vision is and then throw marketing on top of it, the odds are you're going to make a mediocre game that's going to sell poorly. Because in order to sell well, it has to be an exceptional game.
Yeah.
Anything else sells poorly. There's no
Exactly.
middle ground, really.
Okay.
So what ends up happening is if you don't follow your dream, and your vision, and you go, I'm gonna make this action shooter, but I know Match 3 sells better, so I'm gonna make an action th shooter with Match 3 elements. The odds are you're gonna fail with that design because it just doesn't connect. You know,
Yeah.
you've attempted to sacrifice vision for marketability. At the same time, if you
Okay.
create a game with vision and you take no insight into the marketability of it, you're probably gonna fail there too.
Okay.
Because you'll create a game that is exceptionally brilliant, for instance, a kid's game,
Yeah.
but without doing any research on how to market it. Well, how do you market the kid's game? And now you have a game in your hand and you've spent time and effort into it, and now how do you promote it? And now you're stuck. You're like, well, crap, I don't know.
Oh yeah, so cool. One thing I wanted to mention is that I was talking to Ron Gilbert recently, and he's the guy who helped make the Escape from Monkey Island series and some famous kids games. And he was talking about how his sales really picked up once he started to, well, once his company started, hiring a professional marketer and actually started getting PR in, like, the USA Today's and Wall Street Journals of the world. So for the indies listening, whatever Joe's saying isn't hearsay, it's proven fact. So with that said,
Yeah,
what do you see?
the key to what he just said was that it's the real mainstream, not the mainstream game market, but the mainstream market that had to be reached in order for Monkey Island to become really a popular series. And
Yeah.
that takes someone with a lot of contacts and a lot of clout to really get someone interested. Not necessarily clout, maybe salesmanship, but to get those, MSNBC interested in working with an independent educational game.
Okay, cool. Now, what do you see as the biggest then pitfall for indies? I mean, you've seen it from the perspective of a marketer. What would you say is the thing that you just can't believe indies keep on doing over and over again?
Quitting. Quitting is the biggest problem. You make a game, it fails, you quit. I see that one a lot. And just because your first game sucks, and it will, for most of us, with the exception of grubby games, who made an awesome game their very first time,
Yep.
You know, for the most part, every first game I see really sucks. And they'll release a press release, and the press release will get a little bit of coverage, but nobody's interested in reviewing it because the game sucks. That's not a problem. You didn't waste your money.
Yeah.
But, you know, press releases and all this stuff, you just got to start building up, you know, knowledge about your website, knowledge about your company, what you're offering, and every time you release a game and every time you do something important, you let everybody know about it. And eventually, you're going to make a better game, you're going to have people remember who you are, and you're going to succeed. It's just a matter of time. But it takes time, and it takes effort, and it takes blood, sweat, and tears to do it, which is why being a marketer is so much easier.
Well, maybe. For some people it is. For some people it isn't. Well, from a marketing perspective, where do you see the future of the indie game industry going?
It's really unclear right now. You see a lot of consolidation going on throughout the portal system. And what I foresee with that is it's not really going to go too much further than it is right now. What I was talking with Russell Carroll about at the GDC was that the casual game space is growing almost directly proportionate to how many internet users are coming online. That's something Russell pointed out to me. So that when the industry claims the industry is growing at X percent, they're not telling you that internet subscription is growing at that exact same X percent, which really means that the casual game space isn't growing at all. It's just that the market is growing. You know, it's not becoming more popular, it's just that the market is getting larger. So what I foresee with the casual game space right now is that, you know, in the immediate future, is that it's just going to be more of the same, leading up to the point where the big players are eventually going to be able to simply buy out the little players, and there'll eventually be such a large gap between them that there's only, you know, that you hit the oligopoly position where there's only so many options to go to, and each one of them is going to bleed you dry. And that's almost where the industry is right now. Okay. It's just going to get worse, is my prediction. However, I also think that there's a lot to be said about... I don't think the independent games, the non-casual independent games, are going to suffer too much. I think a unique product will always be recognized by the mainstream media as long as you can get it out there. I think, you know, if it's an exceptional product, if it's a good product, and you have someone out there basically whoring it out, you will do well. And I don't think that's going to change. In fact, I think the fact that online sales are becoming more and more common, I think that's only going to help things for the independent developer. I think that the retail space is going to die a very slow and painful death to the online sales model. Even inevitably, you know, Doom 4 is going to be online only, and you won't even be able to buy it in stores, you know, eventually. Maybe it'll be Doom 5, but whatever.
Okay, cool. So any last words then for indie game developers?
Yeah, buy my book.
Okay. And what book is that again?
The Indie Developer's Guide to Selling Games.
Okay. Cool. We've just finished up our conversation with Joe Lieberman, and he was kind enough to enlighten us on the marketing aspects of indie game development. Thanks again, Joe. Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot. It was a pleasure and a lot of fun.